Let's talk about the history of music in New Haven with New Haven's historian. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Good morning. How you doing?
Morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you guys.
Good to have you.
It's Michael Moran.
Yay.
He's the official New Haven historian.
Yes.
We thought we would talk about music.
Right.
Yeah, New Haven's a town that punches above its weight in just about everything, and that's certainly true in music.
Yeah, no doubt. Where do you want to start? Let's start with the Mashantuck and Pequot.
Yeah, I can start at the beginning. Obviously, the Quinnipiac people were here thousands and thousands of years ago, and the Algonquian-speaking peoples of the Donlands here have a great music tradition of singing and drumming, and it continues live with the Ute singers out of the Mashantuck and Pequot tribal nation. So should we give honor to those who were here first and have the oldest music traditions around us?
And you know what?
It's pretty cool.
You could put guitar to this.
You can.
And you can make something out of it.
You can.
They had it.
Like, hey, nice
this beat. This stuff doesn't go out of style.
Right. This has been going on for thousands of years around
Think
here.
About that.
You know? It's amazing.
I think they've stolen this beat from Lost Songs.
Yeah. Well, we got a guy talking
and
about
then
PA.
When
I don't think they had a PA back then.
I don't think so. Yeah.
The English people who came here in the 1630s brought music with them, but they were pretty serious Puritan Christians. They didn't really believe in instrumental music. I think they thought that was sort of like of the devil.
Oh.
So they were mostly singing.
Acapellas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, psalm singing.
It's like peanut butter and chocolate. The two got together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, why don't we put this singing to this music?
Good heavens.
Yeah. Now we got something.
This is genius.
But we know that folks were selling books that had stuff about violin and flute and other stuff by the late 1700s. So instruments finally came. And one of the things also about New Haven's a place of firsts. And one of the first black composers was a guy called Sonny Freeman, who was of the Connecticut River Valley. But he published a book in New Haven in 1801 with composition.
It seems odd for a black guy to be putting out a book in 1801.
Pretty amazing, right?
Yeah. Great. Yeah,
so he's a free person.
Yep.
Wow.
And one of his compositions still survives in the Trinity College collections, and it's been played recently. So, again, there's music going way, way back. And immigrants, of course, brought all kinds of great music here. Classical music is thanks to German immigrants who got the New Haven Symphony started. Italian immigrants brought all kinds of musical traditions, Irish immigrants. But then in the 20th century and down to the 21st century, you know, thanks to PLR and others, it's rock that really is a great history in New Haven.
Frank Sinatra played here, didn't he?
Yeah, a couple different places. He played at the Armory on Gough Street, and then he played at the Coliseum, I think, a number of times.
Wow.
He played here, when was the first time?
He played in the arena in 1941.
Wow.
And the arena, of course, would go on to be site of lots of different things. Great history of hockey, great history of music, all kinds of different things went on there.
Wow.
This is when he was still with an orchestra.
Wow. Do folks like stage dive?
Way before the Rat Pack.
Right. Crowd surfing.
He's probably the first performer that had women swooning over him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I heard some of the classical musicians had a little bit of that, but not as crazy as Frank Sinatra.
And one of the great things about Sinatra that you probably know, Colin Kaplan and others who've done the history of a pizza, Sinatra loved New Haven a pizza. And Pepe's apparently one of his first concerts late at night, stayed open late and sent pies over to him and the band. And he never forgot it.
Wow.
That's wild.
Yeah.
The late night snack.
What about artists from New Haven?
You know, somebody the other day asked, who's the most famous artist from New Haven? And there's probably a bunch. Carpenters, certainly, and they probably were by far the biggest
Why
selling.
Why does it have to be the Carpenters?
You know?
Carpenters and Michael Bolton.
I don't know. I don't know about you guys. You get to a certain age like I do.
Interchangeable.
The song for all of us should be We've Only Just Begun, so we can go with that.
Right.
But, you know, they sold 100 million, something like that, like amazing amount of stuff, and they're from here, and it's great.
Yeah.
And he was apparently, Richard Carpenter apparently did some stuff at the Yale School of Music, and a teacher there said, you're a prodigy, and then they, of course, moved out to California to get started.
Right. And when you call somebody a prodigy, you know, prodigy.
But, you know, so Carpenters are one, Five Satins, Fred Paris, and that group, they recorded in the Still of the Night, one of the greatest songs of all time.
Well, hold on, the Carpenters, so they are from New Haven.
Yeah.
And the parents, when they realized, hey, we might have something here, they moved to Los Angeles?
Yeah. And they're sort of be close to the industry. Exactly right. Yeah, and I don't know.
Awesome.
I mean, some folks may know whether how much they ever came back. I don't see them on set list and other stuff performing here very much. I don't know if you guys know much about them, but you know, they went out there and had their fame and fortune.
Yeah.
Well, she was a drummer, right?
Yeah, she was
great
a drummer.
Great voice, but yep. Drummer.
Yeah, kick-ass drummer, too.
Kick-ass drummer.
Because I remember they had a TV show for a while. They had a variety show, The Carpenters, and she occasionally they had her on the Skins just going nuts.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, of course, Michael Bolton is a great New Havener, so another one who is a chart-topping guy that comes out of here.
Yeah. He started as a rocker.
Yeah, long hair. Everybody's crazy. And, song? Yep.
Yeah.
That was in the Easy Money soundtrack. Easy Money. We'll go back to school soundtrack.
Cool.
Yep.
One of the weirdest shows I ever went to was Bolton was with Orchestra New England, the classical group at Woolsey Hall. Two very different audiences. And there was sort of a fight over which ticket should be the most expensive because, like, the blue-haired ladies of the orchestra thought the balcony, but the folks in the Michael Bolton group thought the seats closest to the stage where the sweat gets on you.
Gotcha.
So it was a weird mix and mashup.
Right.
That's interesting.
You throw your underwear, hits the oboe player. It's in the kettle drum.
All right, so
but it was a very only in New Haven kind of thing.
Yeah. We're talking about the history of music in New Haven. And then the Five Satins, what was their deal?
They were a group from, they used to sing apparently on Dixwell Avenue, Fred Paris and others, and they had different personnel over the years, but he composed the song in the Still of the Night, apparently, I think when he was in the service and on a train back and forth, and they recorded it in the basement of St. Bernadette's Church over in the East Shore on Townsend Avenue. He'd gone down to talk to a guy in New York and said, I want to record, and they said, get me a demo record, and he knew a saxophonist who knew the priest, and rest, as they say, is history.
Wow.
So was this recording recorded in New Haven?
I don't know if the one you're playing was or not. The demo was, definitely.
Oh, okay, the demo was.
Yeah, maybe the one that's out there. I don't know. Yeah. Somebody probably knows.
You think about it, just move the team to Five Stains.
And, you know...
You would think of that.
I know.
You know, he had a distinguished life, distinguished career, as did a lot of the personnel and that stuff. They did not necessarily have good lawyers and rights, so they didn't make the money they should have. They really got... Other people made money off of them in a way that really wasn't fortunate.
That was the way in the...
Unfortunately, that's a story a lot of folks, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, African-Americans, man, they get those white managers and white club owners, and they weren't very good to them.
No.
I remember Chuck Berry did a show for us on Long Island. We had to give him a briefcase full of money.
Yeah. Half the money first before the gig, the other half when
you have cash.
I mean, you guys probably know, Brian Phelps and Randy Beach and the history of Toads and the story. Yeah. I mean, pay up front is a big part of the deal oftentimes.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
In cash.
And then the clubs in New Haven, man, there were a lot of great places to see music.
Yeah, as I was coming out today, I was thinking, Whaley Avenue. A bunch of us will remember in the 80s, I remember, and folks would remember in the 70s, a number of different clubs there, clubs in other parts of town.
Great American Music Hall.
Great American Music Hall, Agora, Twilight Zone, The Moon, Arcadia, Oxford Ale House on Whitney, The Grotto. I saw the Violent Femmes at The Grotto.
Nice.
On Crown Street. You know, there's all kinds of stuff. And, of course, the one that's above them all that will celebrate its 50th birthday next year is Toads. And, again, that's a pretty remarkable story that you can be in business that long. And shout out to Brian and the whole team there, Mike Sperndle, who was there at the beginning. It's a pretty amazing thing when you think about clubs. They oftentimes have a half-life of 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. So something that's been going on 49, going on 50 years is pretty darn remarkable.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and some of the bands that have played there, Bananas.
Yeah, I mean, Bob Dylan played for 4 hours.
I was at that show.
One of the things I was looking back
at... It felt like six.
you wanted to go home. The audience fall asleep, right?
I was only there because the Stones had just played, and I missed that, and I wanted to be part of some of that magic.
History!
Right. Yeah. So I go, and then I'm four songs in, and I'm like, I'm not really a big Bob Dylan fan.
Right? These doors are locked. I can't get out.
Yeah.
And of course, he played many different times. Around New Haven, played in the Coliseum with a bunch of other folks, so he was through here many, many times. And of course, as you noted, the Stone show at Toads is probably the most famous concert in the history of New Haven.
Wow. I mean, so many artists. I remember the first time I went to Toads place, came from Long Island, heard about it, was working with another band, and I just was like amazed at all the pictures of different artists that were just like all the little 8x10s, the glossies, everywhere. I'm like, oh my God, this person played here, this person.
Oh, well, they have those giant paintings, too.
Yep.
And I hope next year in the 50th anniversary of Toads, we all around town do all kinds of different stuff because, you know, the entrepreneurs today talk about ecosystem. And the ecosystem of New Haven music in the 70s was amazing. PLR had just started. New Haven Advocate was going strong. Toads was amazing.
Colin yeah, you think about that. It all started in the early 70s. Yeah. Jimmy Coplick came to town.
Yeah, Jimmy Coplick, of course, is such an incredible part of New Haven and Connecticut and national music history.
Yes.
But there really was this like incredible confluence. Randy Beach and, you know, the Register used to do reviews of basically every show at Toad. So it was incredible. And WPLR on Chapel Street, sort of literally around the corner.
Oh, yeah, and all these artists walked right through.
Yeah.
It was part of the gig, you know. You're playing Toads at night. You come to the radio station in the afternoon to promote the show.
Yep.
Jimmy Coplick has a lot of great show stories about some of the shows that I played there, like U2. What did he pay them? Like nothing, right?
$100 apparently.
$100
I thought they paid him.
Yeah, apparently the first show at Toads, $100, and there were about 100 people in the audience.
Wow.
So if you were there, you're definitely part of history.
The New Haven Arena, that was before the Coliseum. Sometimes people confuse the two.
Yeah, and a shout out to the Podoloff family. We should always give credit to the people and the families who keep the music going and make the places. Arena was a place for hockey and ended up being a great place for music and other kinds of entertainment shows. Down on Orange Street, where the FBI headquarters is now.
Oh, okay.
I think the most famous concert there is the Doors concert.
Yeah. Before we get to that one, since we talked about the Stones a little bit before, the Stones were supposed to play their first gig in New Haven, and there weren't enough ticket sales, so it was canceled.
Wow.
And
you could have seen the Stones in 1964 for $2. But
you made $5 a week back then. So,
that's true. But definitely the most famous
64. So this is the Beatles coming to America.
Yeah.
And the Stones couldn't sell out the New Haven Arena.
Yeah.
Wow.
Most of the times New Haven got it right. Once in a while, you know, it doesn't work out.
Right.
But definitely the most famous has got to be in December 9th, 1967, when the Doors played at the arena. And Jim Morrison was making out with somebody backstage, and a New Haven cop who was there probably doing extra duty thought it was just some hippie making out and said, cut it out. And Jim Morrison gave the cop some lip, and the cop apparently maced him.
Wow.
And this did not sit very well with Jim Morrison and the Doors. And there may have been substance involved. You never know with those kinds of things. But he goes on stage. And I think they had said backstage to him, like, you know, if it all goes fine, you know, don't trouble us, we won't trouble you.
Yeah.
But Mr. Morrison decided it was time to let the audience know what was going on backstage, and he recounted it, and he recounted it in some pretty direct and language that the cops weren't very happy about. So lights came on, cops came on stage, Lieutenant Jim Kelly, I think, was the guy in charge, and Morrison was arrested that night. And
cool, they had bracelets.
It was basically a riot right after that.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, Kent Pierce did a show with you guys, and I rely on this on my historical sources, Chaz and AJ.
Oh wow,
who said that? And I think this is probably right, that this is the first time a rock star was arrested on stage. Probably not the first time a rock star was ever arrested, but on stage in such a public kind of way.
Right.
And so we can claim many different firsts in New Haven, and that's one of them.
First and,
and again, you're the historic source for that.
Sorry.
How far into the show
You're in the footnotes now.
How far into the show was it when he was arrested?
Yeah, I don't know. That's probably knowable, and maybe there's got to be some folks still alive. I know a guy I know is that dad was on the police force at the time, so that's a good question, how far they were into it, and what the set list and what the song was. And, of course, he then writes a song, Peace Frog, that has the line, Blood on the Streets in the Town of New Haven.
Blood in the streets in the town of New Haven. Blood stains the roofs and the palm trees of Venice.
Yep. That's our claim to fame right there.
Yeah, I mean, take that, Hartford, Springfield, Bridgeport. They ain't got nothing like that.
That's the most famous New Haven reference in any song.
We sound so violent.
I'm not going there. There's blood in the streets.
Yeah. And famous enough, obviously, to make it in the great movie about the Doors, too. So
that was the New Haven Arena, and the last concert there, the final show at the arena, was Elton John.
Yeah, which is also sort of interesting thing about, and Elton John played many times at the Coliseum, so he has a long history in New Haven as well.
Woolsey Hall.
Yeah, Woolsey Hall, you know, built around Yale's bicentennial in 1901, and many folks know it. It's a place that has about 2,600 seats, so it's a pretty cool spot, and it's got an amazing pipe organ, so it was built for music, and it was, wow, has been the home of the New Haven Symphony basically forever. And then it became a place with all kinds of different concerts, and probably, again, there's listeners who will remember seeing various things. As I said, I saw Michael Bolton, but there's all kinds of people who played there, including Jimi Hendrix, which I think will blow a lot of people's minds to think that Jimi Hendrix played at Woolsey Hall.
In 1968.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, a year later, he's going to play Woodstock.
Right.
1968, he released Electric Ladyland.
Okay.
And that was his last studio album with Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Wow.
So what a time.
Seriously.
To see Jimi Hendrix, if you're going to see him.
That was
with the Experience.
Yep.
Yeah, and for all saying that...
What were you going to say?
I mean, the 70s were a great time, but the 60s, New Haven also was holding its own, and that was a year that there were a lot of different pop and rock concerts at Woolsey Hall. So Richie Havens, who would later live in New Haven, another guy who made a big deal at Woodstock.
Yeah.
Janis Joplin and Big Brother and the Holding Company played there in 68. So,
wow.
You know, and it went on for a little while. R.E.M. played there in 1983. Dylan had played there earlier. And then apparently... some of the folks that it's got a really historic organ, a pretty amazing organ, 10,000-11,000 pipes. And I think some of the folks who care for the organ were a little bit worried about people like Hendrix.
Someone turned to a bomb, for Christ's sake.
It's going
to
light it on fire.
Yeah, like don't step on the organ, please. So.
Why is there a pot in here?
CJ in Wallingford.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey. Yeah, so my great uncle was Francis McManus. He was the chief of police in the Haven at the time. He's the one he arrested Jim Morrison.
Wow. That's wild. Yeah. Is there a picture anywhere of your grandfather with Jim Morrison in handcuffs? Can you imagine?
There is a little video clip online. Somebody did some home movie stuff, so you can see the part of the arrest there.
Yeah. Wow.
And then the mugshot obviously exists.
Yeah, wasn't it in Kent's report? That little video clip on stage or from the home movie.
Yeah,
that'd be great. Your grandfather?
It was my grandfather's brother.
Your grandfather's brother, right?
Yeah, and of course the cops have a lot to say about music history because there's so much extra duty work that police officers do. So if we ever wanted to do a real extensive oral history of music in New Haven, talking to the PD who work these things, they know a lot and they see a lot that sometimes folks. In front of the stage, don't see.
Right.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Great point.
But I don't have anything, though. It would have been great to have a picture, but. All right, guys.
All right,
have a good
CJ.
Morning.
Thank you.
You too. Ed, Long Island.
It's actually upstate New York, but there is another New Haven reference in a song, a certain Christmas song. I was wondering if the historian knows anything about that.
He wants to know. Tell us about it. Christmas in July.
What is it? Christmas in July, exactly. What is it, a very Merry Christmas or very Family Christmas?
Oh, we got to hold you for one more break.
Yes.
We have to talk about
this. Yeah, you need to hear about this.
I want to.
Guys, you have a great day. I got to go.
All right, I got to go.
Have a good day.
All right. I got things to do, too, Bill.
Yeah.
No, thank you for that. Yeah, we have a song. We want to bring it up to you and play it for you and see if you know anything about it. But let's move on to the Yale Bowl before we wrap this part up.
Yeah, another place where there were all kinds of concerts. And starting in the 40s, maybe even before then, but in the 40s, there were pops concerts, classical pops concerts. And they built a little bowl in the bowl for 10,000 seats. But then beginning in the 60s into the 70s and at least to the Eagles in 1980, there were big rock concerts where you had 60, 67,000 people. Led Zeppelin played there. I was looking the other day.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Amazing picture, Grateful Dead. And there was a picture of Garcia with a limo that had driven into the, you know, through the portal in there. Amazing stuff. Jackson 5 played in 1973. I put a thing out on my Facebook the other day asking for folks for their favorite concerts. A number of people said, like, my first concert ever was Jackson 5 at the Yale Bowl.
Wow.
Beach Boys played there. Peter, Paul, and Mary had played there. I mean, just imagine Led Zeppelin at
Yale Bowl.
Yale Bowl.
Wow.
I had a bootleg album of that concert, and I wish I could find it now. It's somewhere on the internet. It must be.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah, and I think Yes did a live album. that maybe is from there. There are a couple different live albums that come. Billy Joel did one song at Toad's. It's on one of his live albums. Right. So there are some legit, and then there's got to be all kinds of bootleg stuff all around. Obviously, any of the Dead shows in New Haven, I'm sure there's plenty of those kicking around.
I think Yes was called Yes, We're in the Bowl.
The Eagles, that was the last concert at Yale Bowl?
I think that was the last one. You know, there was a Paul McCartney concert that was planned. I was on the Board of Alders. I supported it, just so if anybody knows.
Very good.
And
yeah.
I think, as I recall, it was approved, but there were so many conditions on it that he finally said, this can't happen. Wow. So there was supposed to be a McCartney in 1991, but I think the Eagles was the last great concert there.
Man. The Little River Band, Heart, and the Eagles.
Wow.
And this was the height of their greatness in live performances.
I've seen that photo of so many people there. So many. Wow.
And Joe Walsh passed out backstage. And the way they woke him up. Did you hear this story?
Legendary.
No.
So Joe Walsh was passed out, and Jimmy Complex said, hey, you know, you guys got to go on. And they said, well, we're not going on without Joe. And Jimmy was it a former Marine who did security for him backstage?
I know how to do it. Yeah.
I know how to do this.
I know what to do here.
So they took Joe Walsh, they pulled his pants down, and they dipped his balls in, in a tub of ice that was holding beer.
Yep. We got to hope Koplik writes a memoir, maybe a couple volumes.
This is where Trim Snowballs came from.
But we talked to Joe about it, and he kind of remembered. He was like, I always made it.
You would think that would stick out.
Yeah.
Or used to.
Oh, man. What a concert that must have been.
Yep.
So jealous.
Damn it.
You know, I remember hearing about it, and friends said, you want to go? Yeah.
Right. Nah.
Just stupid.
Yep.
Yeah.
Always take the opportunity.
That's right. Okay. And then what was the first concert at the New Haven Coliseum?
Apparently, Bob Hope was the opening act at the Coliseum in 1972.
He was the opener.
Yeah.
Wow. Bob Hope.
Yeah.
And who was the last concert at the New Haven Coliseum?
It was the anti-Bob Hope. Tool was
so different, you know, big time.
Do you remember a couple years ago that New Haven's slogan was "New Haven, it all happens here"? And so, you know, from
apparently
Bob Hope
does,
to Tool,
that's a good slogan.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Tool was the last concert there.
Wow.
Yeah, and then it closed a couple weeks after that. There may have been some other things because there was a lot of wrestling that happened in like the last decade. A
couple
of
flea markets,
and,
maybe.
You know, folks who haven't seen Rich Hanley's epic documentary about the last days of the Coliseum, it's a really great documentary.
Oh, really? Can you find that online?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
What's it called? The Last Days of the Coliseum?
Last Days of the Coliseum. It's on CPTV. Great, nearly 2-hour thing. And again, it's one where PLR plays a large part of the history because so many of the great concerts there were co-presented and promoted by PLR. And, you know, back in the day, folks will remember, you'd sort of hear about the concerts the day before on PLR, go to the Coliseum, talk about it that night, talk about it the next day. So, again, part, you know, the Coliseum was what it was, thanks in large part to WPLR.
Now, man, I remember when I started working here in the 80s, you know, I'm standing next to Gene Simmons backstage or Ronnie James Dio.
Oh, wow.
Going to all these concerts. For nothing.
Pinch yourself
moments. Like, what the hell is this? Are they paying me?
Yeah, how did I do this?
I don't need to get paid.
Wow.
And we got to make sure that you guys, your archives are kept too for, you know, 50, 100 years from now. Whoever's doing whatever they're doing, talking about history, you're going to be drawing on your stories.
Yeah, I think the police have that.
Check the police report.
They've got all that. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Once the statute of limitations is run out, we'll publish it.
Yeah. We'll have to ask Jimmy, like, who played the Coliseum the most? I saw you have Jethro Tull down for like 15, 16 shows.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, the set list, a site that you guys certainly know, you know, sort of great crowdsource stuff. Aerosmith played a bunch.
That makes sense.
Jethro Tull played a lot. Grateful Dead.
Grateful Dead. Yeah, Jimmy's favorite.
Yep.
And Jimmy was on their staff for a while, so it makes sense that Grateful Dead would have a lot of shows at the Coliseum. Yeah.
And folks will remember, you know, on the upper rows, it used to be you could smoke inside. And so sometimes you couldn't really see the concert very well if you were up in, you know, row 40 or something, because the haze up that way was pretty severe.
That's right. I remember going to a truck show. I was working for the station, so I was down on the floor.
Right.
And it's one of these, you know, monster trucks.
Oh, yeah.
And they're blowing the worst fuel out.
Oh,
there's no emissions.
Oh, yeah,
there's no nothing.
Yeah, it's October.
I remember about 20 minutes in, I'm like, wow, I'm starting to get a little bit of a buzz.
Right.
And I look up, and you can't see the people in the top seats. I'm like, oh, they're probably having some real troubles right now.
Traces of meltdowns.
That's
right
in my lungs.
Right. I see spots.
Yeah. There was one truck, did a jump, couldn't stop.
Oh, no.
It goes through the alley.
Right.
And you just hear, boom! And then a giant tire rolls out.
Oh, no!
And the crowd went nuts,
the
I bet
The crowd
you.
Went nuts!
Oh, yeah, that's what you want. Yeah!
Oh, no.
Yep. Yeah, you want that stuff, man.
Yeah, my first concert there was Electric Light Orchestra, which is, like, I know, laugh.
No. But what you saw that day, though.
What?
Could you expect Electric Light Orchestra, this huge lights?
Yeah, I was expecting a big light show.
Yeah, I think I may have seen something, a review of that they didn't do very well because they did have orchestral music, and in that big concrete box, that wasn't a good thing. I mean, that
wasn't great.
It was a good place to hear The Dead, to hear Aerosmith, to hear certain kind of bands, but other bands, the acoustics weren't so good. So I don't know what your memories of the ELO show were, but I think I read that it wasn't the best show that they ever did.
I was not impressed with the light show.
Yeah.
Seeing how lights.
In the name.
Electric Light Orchestra.
Right.
I thought, okay, well, there'll be an orchestra.
We're going to get like Star Wars or something.
Right. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. Not much. I think probably the moment I'll always remember is meeting Robert Plant backstage at the New Haven Coliseum, but then coming out, and this is when he was just starting to embrace his Led Zeppelin past. So a lot of his songs solo were like Big Log and all these really mellow songs.
Yeah.
And he does a number of those songs, and then there's this pause, and all of a sudden you hear, dan, 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 dan. Goes into Misty Mountain Hop,
wow.
And I literally thought that the screaming from the crowd was going to bring the ceiling of the New Haven Coliseum down.
Wow.
I never heard a crowd so loud in my life.
Mm. Yeah, one of the things I think about the history of this stuff, my sister was at the Who concert in 1979 in Cincinnati, the famous one.
Oh, where no.
The
that
folks
one.
Were
oh.
killed.
That one.
And the Who played in New Haven just a week or so later. And it was, you know, it was a big deal. And apparently Providence, Buddy Cianci, the mayor of Providence, canceled them in Providence, said they're not going to come here. But New Haven went ahead with the show. It had extra security. But it was one of the first shows they played after that famous 1979 Cincinnati concert.
Wow.
Well, like a Tribe member said, there is another song, not just The Doors, Peace Frog, with a New Haven reference. There's another song with a New Haven reference.
Linda Bennett's An Old Fashioned Christmas.
So this is, just so you, it's, can you stop for a second? So this is, you're listening, when you hear the woman singing, she's singing, right? When you hear this weirdo Christmas music, that's supposed to be, now we're listening to the radio.
Right.
Okay. What fun it is to...
We're sorry to interrupt this program, but a bulletin has just been handed me. There's been a serious accident involving the number 5 bus out of New Haven. The only information we have is that the bus skidded on a patch of ice and slammed into a tree. Stay tuned to this station for further details.
Mommy, isn't that the bus? Daddy rides each night.
I always think I'm prepared for how it goes, and I'm never at.
He's my children. Everything's all right.
I'm going to talk to the mayor about what the soundtrack for the tree lighting this year is.
Don't tell the crowd. Just watch the crowd.
The internet tells me this song came out in 1975. The internet says this is a bonkers song, and that is a bonkers song.
Yes,
that's
is.
Not even the worst part.
Yeah, it gets worse.
I can't even believe it.
But apparently it came out in 75. So next year is the 50th anniversary of Hungry Charlie's Turning Into Toads.
Right.
It's the 50th anniversary of Claire's Cornucopia, and it's the 50th anniversary of the song.
Wow.
So we got to do something.
It's the 50th anniversary of the song.
The stars
in 1975.
Are aligning here.
Yes.
Yeah, 2025 is going to be a big year for Christmas in New Haven.
We got to find her and bring her back.
Michael, what was your first concert?
I don't know about the first concert. One of the earliest concerts I saw in New Haven was the Violent Femmes at the Grotto. Saw Utopia, Todd Rundgren's group, at the Twilight Zone on
wow.
Whaley. But for a little bit, I helped pay my way through divinity school, through graduate school, as the sexton, fancy word for custodian, at Battelle Chapel. And Battelle, every once in a while, like Woolsey and Neil Bull, used to have concerts. And Billy Bragg played once. I'm looking forward. He's going to be playing in Norwalk later this year. And it was fun hanging out with Billy Bragg in the van in between soundcheck and the show.
Nah.
And there may have been things involved then that are now legal in Connecticut.
Right, right.
So that was a good time. But the most epic one was working when Jesus and Mary Chain, the thrash band, came to Battelle Chapel. And it must have been that the secretary at the chaplain's office got a call from somebody that said, we're the Jesus and Mary Chain, we want to play. And maybe they thought, oh, it's a gospel group.
Oh, Lord.
And comes. And these were like some hardcore guys with some hardcore roadies who were like, we want to move this, move that. And when the music started, I was just like, let go, let God, and let's hope the windows survive.
Right.
So Jesus and Mary Chain at Battelle Chapel is by far my favorite New Haven concert story.
That's great.
And then they used the Jesus word many times.
Dan, what was your first concert? Was it in Connecticut?
My brother was really into country music, so I think it was like Brooks and Dunn or something.
Oh wow!
Okay,
he would go to the Meadows a lot, and I would often tag along with him. But there's a lot of country stuff. Not my favorite genre, but that was.
Hey, you got to start somewhere.
Somebody had to hold his beer.
That's right. Ruth, what was your first concert?
Mine was Whitney Houston at the New Haven Coliseum.
Oh, wow.
Epic. Was that sold out? Do you know?
Oh, gosh.
Did it look full? Do you remember it?
It was packed. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, all of her dealers. Sorry.
No, she was fantastic.
Yeah, because Jimmy said, you know, she didn't sell the tickets you would think.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
What about you, Phil?
Mine was Britney Spears in Schenectady, New York. I was on a road trip with a friend to Lake George, and we're going through, and we're like, oh, should we stop for this? Like, and then his dad's like, do you want to stop? And we're like, I guess. It was not sold out. She played, I think, 7 songs, and 2 of them were Hit Me Baby One More Time. I wish I was joking. That was exactly how it went down.
Wow.
It was very bad.
Justin?
My first Coliseum show was Anthrax and Iron Maiden.
Nice.
Oh. That's
nice.
A good one.
That was a heck of a show.
Yeah. Damn, man. Damn.
I remember going to Iron Maiden, and I wore this, like, Miami Vice-colored shirt, and I pick up my date, and she's like, black T-shirt, you know?
Yeah.
She looks at me, she goes, you're wearing that?
When a girl says
and
that.
That's when I knew I made a mistake.
Yes.
In my wardrobe choice.
Right.
They sell T-shirts there.
You made up for it, though. You wear black all the time now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, that was it. That was the genesis.
That was the switch. I will never wear a shirt like that again.
I'm never wearing a glow-in-the-dark shirt again.
Goodbye, buttons.
It was the 80s. It was a different time.
Yes.
Michael, thanks for coming on. We appreciate you.
Oh, it's great to be with you guys. Look forward to being with you sometime again in the future.
Oh, cool. Yeah, let's do it. Michael Moran, city historian of New Haven.